Before your life in Christ, there were things you enjoyed that you know weren't right. You look back and maybe endeared towards that. Maybe the ease that you thought was ease, but it really wasn't. Whatever it might be, the difficulties you have in relationships that you didn't have before, do you look back to that, or do you count that forfeiting as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus?
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, your message hits at the core of one of the greatest struggles Christians contend with today. And perhaps like never before in all of history, the world and all that is in it is more accessible and more alluring than even the Apostle Paul might have imagined.
You know, Dave, it does seem like the world is much more accessible to us than it would be to the Apostle Paul, but the reality is that there's nothing new under the sun. There's just maybe a different way that it comes to us. We all are tempted by the world and worldliness, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ steps into our world and calls us out of that world. And he says, follow me. If you want to keep your life, you must lose it. The least will be the greatest among you. And literally, everything Christ taught is exactly the opposite of what the world says. And in today's message, we're going to see why. Our text is Philippians chapter 3, verse 8.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
When I believe his word and I allow it to work in my heart, I have everything I need through this true relationship with the Lord through his word. And he says here, for by these he has granted his precious and magnificent promises. Then skip to the end of the book, 2 Peter. You might remember when we went through this, 2 Peter 3, verse 17. After speaking of the scriptures that people distort and the danger of that, people take the difficult passages and twist them, Peter closes the book out this way. He says in 2 Peter 3:17, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, the bad guys are going to twist stuff. They're going to twist the word of God. Be on your guard lest you be carried away by the error of unprincipled men and you fall from your steadfastness. Don't let the twisters mess up the words so you fall in your relationship with the Lord, right? But instead, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Are you doing that? Are you growing? You could come here every day and grow in knowledge, book knowledge. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's got to be related to the Lord. You may know the word back and forth. You've heard 900 sermons. You may know it. But the reality is, are you growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? A real relationship with him. The bad guys get you in the stuff, even the word stuff, but not in the God of the word that speaks to you through his word. He says, to him be glory both now and in the day of eternity. Amen. You see, God has given us everything we need, and it's in the midst of a context through the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything you need for this life is entwined in a relationship with Jesus. Trusting him, obeying him, listening to his word, learning about him, loving him with all your heart, mind, and soul. Seeing him as more valuable than anything else. The Apostle Paul would pray this basically in Ephesians chapter 5 because we need to grow in it, right? We don't automatically become close to someone when we meet them, right? We learn about them, right? And here the Apostle Paul prays for that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And so you got to start to set your priorities in all the spheres of your life. That Christ is the priority in those spheres. And it includes all those areas of life. It includes those. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for the saints. Hey, you're true believers, Ephesians. You got faith in Jesus and that love for the brothers and sisters. You love them, right? You see them more important than yourself, right? He says here, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And then he starts to talk about what he's praying about. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, now you could translate this way, spiritual wisdom and revelation. That's really the best translation. spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That God would give you spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And it comes through the Word of God. But it has to fall on soil that is good. It has to fall on soil that's not sin-soaked. It has to fall on soil that is confessing sin. It isn't holding things. It's got to fall on good soil. So when the Apostle Paul came to Christ, he counted those things before as loss. But then he says, now, more than that, all those words to make it so important. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And notice, guess what? He's not just a talker. He's going to say, guess what? I did lose it all. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. You see, it's one thing to say I'd give up everything for Christ. It's another thing to actually lose it for Christ. Right? It's one thing to say I'll give up everything for Christ. And that's the right heart, if it's truly there. It's another thing to say that and actually lose it. Paul not only saw it as lost and not valuable, but he lost it. He actually lost it. Notice what he says in the middle of verse 8. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count it all as loss, view the surpassing value of knowing him, and I've lost it all. The term suffered the loss speaks of forfeiture. I forfeited it. Could have held on to it. I forfeited it. I counted it as loss and I gave it up. I forfeited it. Now, he says he was caused to. The tense was passive. He didn't do it on his own. It was caused to happen. You see, when you're willing to do things in Christ, God sometimes brings those circumstances about, right? If you say, I'll give up my life for Christ, you know, God may cause you to give up your life for Christ. You didn't give it up. Don't go out and do it on your own. But He may bring those circumstances around. You see, I'll give everything to the Lord. Well, yes, you may be willing to, but He may cause that to actually happen. You see what I'm saying? And the Apostle Paul here says it in a way that I have suffered. I didn't cause it, but it has happened to me. It has happened to me. The loss of all things. Now, you have to lose everything to be saved, religiously speaking. You got to do that. You can't be saved if you're holding on to religious stuff. You got to go to Jesus with a clean heart and a clean slate. But when we come to Him, Paul says now he's lost all things. But what does he mean by that? What does he mean by he's actually lost all things? What can we gather from Scripture that is possibly what he is speaking of? Well, a couple things. He probably lost his wealth, his position, his prestige, his family, his security, and even his health. Things that people who don't know Christ strive for, and things that believers should not strive for, but do, by the way, at times. We're to trust the Lord. We're to look at the lilies of the field. We're to rely on Him. We're to seek first His righteousness. But sometimes we seek ease, wealth, position, prestige, family, security, health, whatever it might be. Remember, Paul was called Saul of Tarshish. Tarshish was a town in which you couldn't be a citizen unless you were wealthy. And if you lost your wealth, you weren't a citizen anymore. It was wealthy. Came from a wealthy place. He certainly lost that. He didn't have money. He knew how to be without and was fully supplied, right? Later on, he had the Philippian church helping him out financially. Certainly lost that. Certainly, usually almost every Pharisee was married. We see the Apostle Paul was not married. The assumption is either his wife died or left him when he became saved. He talks about having the right to take a believing wife later on. We know that he was very influential. He was increasing beyond his contemporaries, religiously speaking. He was on the ladder to the top religiously, which was political in Israel also. He had wealth, power, and privilege. And obviously, he has forfeited that. But he didn't see it as a gain. See it as loss. Wealth, power, and privilege is a loss in view of knowing Christ. It's a loss. And you got to see it that way. He probably forfeited friends, having been a Pharisee. He forfeited his health and safety. We know that. Just read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's not very easy for what he was doing. He was always in danger of rivers, robbers, and beaten, and all kinds of stuff, right? But he saw it rightly. If you see that rightly, you can rejoice and sing praises in jail. If you see Christ Jesus as the primary focus and obeying Him and Him being glorified, You could praise God in that. And he did, and the jailers came to faith, didn't they? But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, even also, rather, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. In coming to Jesus Christ, we must be willing to lose our lives to gain Christ. You must not hold on to your life. If you hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. If you give it up. And what do you give up? You give up the sinfulness of your life, the things that were pleasurable for the moment but bring death and sorrow and pain and judgment. You give those up for temporal suffering, for the glories to follow. The Apostle Paul didn't look back. I press forward, not looking back. He's sharing this so that we can have the same mindset and see Christ as valuable as he did. His temporal loss, as we will see, was actually gain. There's a cost to coming to Christ. You're called to lose your affection and trust in everything pertaining to your old life. To lose that. Everything the world relies on and values, we're to just let go. The loss of what they value, and the loss of that doesn't compare to the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And let me ask you this, because this can sneak in. Do you look back at the things that you forfeited and are endeared towards them? Are you tempted? Before your life in Christ, there were things you enjoyed that you know weren't right. You look back and maybe endeared towards that. Maybe the ease that you thought was ease, but it really wasn't because it's a lie. The wealth that whatever it might be that maybe you don't have because you're following Jesus Christ. Whatever it might be, the difficulties you have in relationships that you didn't have before. Do you look back to that or do you count that forfeiting as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus? Do you remember Lot's wife? She was told not to look back upon Sodom. But what happened? She was unwilling to lose her old life. She had an endearment towards it, and she looked back, and after being warned, she lost her life. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 28. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. Speaking of judgment coming, by the way. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were living lives apart from Jesus. Just doing the things humans do, apart from Jesus. But on the day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let not one of you who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house go down to take them away. Likewise, let one who is in the field turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Luke chapter 17, 32. Remember Lot's wife. What was the issue with Lot's wife? You see, she wanted her life. She loved it. And she turned back. She was warned. Whoever seeks to keep his life shall lose it. Whoever loses it shall preserve it. What about Matthew chapter 10? Turn to Matthew chapter 10. We have the same truth. You see, if you're seeking to have security in this life, the money, whatever it is, the way the world does, you got to lose it. Jesus is our security. Jesus is our security. He's a good God. He'll take care of you. Get to know him, and you will be fine. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim in the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows, those are birds, sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Matthew 10:32. Everyone who shall confess me before men, I shall also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. And he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. He's not saying you go and make trouble in your family, but he's saying when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's going to be trouble. And you need to be willing to forfeit those things, even things that you love. You can't keep it. If you keep it, you lose your life. Luke chapter 9. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. You know, an example, I hear people that stay in bad churches because they love the relationships. They love the relationships, but they don't love Christ in an effort to be obedient to Him, not wanting to give it up. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits? Loss, right? Forfeits his own soul. Paul, rather than forfeiting his soul, forfeited the stuff and gained Christ. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Remember Lot's wife. We can become endeared again to the things that we actually were saved from. And they get in the way, whether it's security, whether it's finances, whether it's friendships, relationships. Not that that's wrong. We can become endeared towards that. Remember Lot's wife. You see, brother and sister, we're new creations in Christ. We need to press forward, not looking back. Don't look back at the life Jesus died to spare you from. And we need to be warned if that's your continual habitual heart. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Paul saw everything in this loss. And he actually lost it. And if your heart's there, then when it goes away, even when you go through those difficulties, the Lord's with you. It may not go away, but you got to be willing to. Willing for it. Follow the Lord at all costs, no matter what happens. If everybody leaves, follow the Lord at all costs. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And this world is passing away, and also its desires or lusts. But the one who does the will of the Father or God abides forever. Got choices to make, brothers and sisters. And then for those of you who don't know Christ, you got a choice to make. Notice back in our passage, Philippians 3, let's finish up, Philippians 3, verse 8. He says, more than that, I count all things as loss and view the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And notice what he says, and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. The term rubbish is a very descriptive word. Skubalon, it speaks of rubbish or refuse. It included the excrement of humans or animals. It spoke of worthless, detestable things. It spoke of half-eaten corpses. It could be translated dung. Useless, smelly, detestable waste, refuse. I consider all that stuff I lost as useless, detestable, smelly waste that I might gain Christ. Now the implication is if you don't see it rightly, you're not going to gain Christ. First of all, in salvation, but as you grow in your relationship with Him. Because He talks about this as a purpose, in order that I might now, that's what He's talking about, now gain Christ, that I might gain Him. You got to see everything is lost in view of Christ. You got to see the truth of what's really going on. The worthlessness of those things versus the worth of a relationship with the Savior. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. The Lord Jesus told two parables about this. He told two parables about the kingdom. But the kingdom is what's behind the kingdom, a king, and it's King Jesus. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. It's like a hidden treasure, buried treasure, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. He sells all that he has and buys the field. It's so valuable. Everything I have does not compare to that treasure. I have a value of that. I value that. Now I value the things I have differently in light of that treasure, right? And notice what it says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. Upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. You have to value the relationship with Christ rightly before you give up this other thing. You got to see it rightly, and you'll want to give up everything. He says, and I've counted it all as worthless rubbish in view of gaining Christ. You got to count some stuff as rubbish, brothers and sisters. Got to start seeing things rightly in light of who Christ is, in order that I might gain Christ. The statement implies that the process has begun but is not completed. The verb is in a mood that speaks of possibility, but with another portion connected to it, it speaks of the goal. The goal. I continually count this stuff as rubbish that I have gained Christ. So folks, what are your values? What's your value system? What do you value the most? What do you see as gain? What do you see as loss? What is your values? The Apostle Paul made it clear, and from his testimony we see that the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord, is more valuable than anything else. Are you willing to see it that way? Are you willing to see growing in the grace of him by hearing the word and walking with him in prayer and learning more about him from his word, learning about his will, his desires, his will for you, wanting to please him? Is that your desire? It's worth more than anything. It's more valuable than anything. We have the most valuable thing ever, and we can possess it and grow in that if we're willing to see the other stuff as refuse. What things do you need to see differently? What things smell that you need to say that smells and see it that way? What things? The Apostle Paul said nothing compares to knowing Christ. Well, some of you don't know Christ, and that's because sin's in the way, and you're going to experience total loss when you die. You can gain stuff now. Some of you may be very talented, whatever it might be. You may be smart. You can gain now. You can even gain the whole world. But you lose your own soul. Turn to Christ. Trust in him for salvation alone. Then what about us believers? Do we see Christ, a personal relationship with him, as the most valuable thing in our lives? We need our minds renewed. We need to renew them every day.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today you challenged believers to yield their lives to Christ. And in the few moments we have left, how can that person, that true believer who has somewhere along the way become endeared to their old life, give it up again?
You know, Dave, the answer is actually quite simple. For anyone who truly knows Christ and has subtly been hardened by the deceitfulness of sin and started to value the things of the world rather than Christ, I would say to them, first of all, come to the Lord and repent. You know, friendship with the world is hostility towards God.
humble yourself, confess that your desires are sinful, they're contrary to God's will, and Jesus will forgive you. And then when you're tempted, He's faithful to deliver you if you come to Him and trust Him. Get into God's Word, delight yourself in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart, the desires of a changed heart that wants to know Him.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.